Well, good morning. It's always a privilege to get here and stand before you all to allow the Word of God to permeate amongst His people. You know, it's something that we need to hold fast to. And I'm so thankful this morning that, you know what, even in times of desperation, of need, we can always turn to our Lord. And without further ado, this is the Advent series of week four. And we'll be talking about the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 10. Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 10. This is the word of the Lord. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I want you all to think for a moment a place where you could imagine yourself to be. The most desirable place where you live in to be the perfect environment that best suits your needs. Like for you beach lovers, the white sandy beaches of Esperance. Or maybe you campers who love the serene environment you get from being outdoors in the woods. Now I want you to think about the most desirable position you could be in. A position where you are not criticized by your culture, your height, your weight, your size, your gender, or even your age. A position where you lived in harmony and peace. Now, I want you to think of something that would give you the most desirable pleasure. Maybe a piece of nostalgia, like a 31-year-old car that you've had for a while that you'd love to see in its former glory. Or maybe catching that once-in-a-lifetime fish that has eluded you the whole time you've been trying to fish. You know, that thing that gives you a brief moment of excitement and maybe a dose of adrenaline, would I even dare say it? Ecstasy and euphoria. Ultimately, it's a sense of escaping the pressures of the world around you just to give you a moment, no matter how brief it may be, of freedom, satisfaction, and pleasure. I mean, it's the Christmas holidays, isn't it? And I'm sure that most of you have already planned a vacation or trip away to escape the normality of life's undesirables. Yet what we are really saying to ourselves, though we don't usually like to admit it, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live like this permanently? Always on a permanent holiday. I mean, there is even a movie out in the cinemas my kids want to watch that describes such a place where everything is meant to project a permanent, perfect world with the perfect society of where everyone lives together in perfect harmony. And they're busting to watch it, don't worry. Zootopia, if you've seen it already, has a sequel which is recently released, which describes a place, as is already in the title, that is a perfect utopia for these animals. A place where a community of animals live, where the environment best suits their needs. A position where both predator and prey coexist and get along with each other, living in perfect harmony. And a pleasurable experience where all their desires are completely satisfied. However, and there is a however. As the movie initially displays all of these desirable qualities of a life in the beginning, we cannot help but allow this to play with our minds and our thoughts of how it would look with ourselves. And yet, as we delve deeper into the movie, we are pulled back into reality as it progresses, exposing countless flaws which are apparent in this so-called utopia, and makes it out to be a myth and a pipe dream at best. Then rendering ourselves back into the same constant similar struggles we have in our own lives. Especially as one of the characters, who is the crime boss of the movie, says, "We may be evolved, but deep down we are still animals." And this is where I believe we are in our text this morning, beloved. This being our fourth week of Advent, God is revealing for us his perfect character through the means of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only source of good, which is what we currently need. The source that not only brings salvation, but through the process of sanctification, demonstrates the purpose of being more Christ-like and not better versions of ourselves. So that we live in a place where we demonstrate the already and not yet kingdom of God here on earth, as it is yet to be fully revealed when Christ returns, to coexist with one another in harmony with the community of God's people, the church, and a position where we are changed forever to the core of the heart through the healing of Christ that brings peace and a pleasing desire and longing to experience the fullness of God through his promises that brings salvation, excitement, and joy of being a part of a kingdom where there is freedom from all that seeks to destroy us. A kingdom of all that is good, where the only access is through a king who truly is the Anointed One, who truly is the Great Shepherd, who truly is the Righteous One, and as we will see in this fourth installment of Advent, the Prince of Peace. But before I carry on, please allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come in your presence this morning. Father, that you have displayed your righteousness before all men, Father, through the death and burial and resurrection of you, Lord Jesus, who condescended into this world for our sakes, who lived a perfect life and now who reigns in heaven above. Father, what a wonderful picture it would be when we hold on to this hope of you, Lord Jesus, who have already come to show us that the only way we can get peace, O Lord, is through your perfect righteousness. Otherwise, there's just chaos and confusion. And so, Father, plant that in our minds and our hearts as we contemplate your word this morning. But Father, always looking to the second advent when you, Lord Jesus, return, when we go to be with you, this new heavens and new earth, this perfectness, O Lord, where there is no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more anguish, but complete joy. And so, Father, be with us all, we pray. In your wonderful Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we heard in the sermon so beautifully put by Bruce last week, this week's sermon cannot begin without the reinforcement of verses 1 to 5. And they are tied together as one. And I'll tell you why. We learnt how the Spirit of the Lord rests upon the messianic ruler, a true and righteous king from the line of David. And that true and righteous King is Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of the Father. And as the Gospels clearly declare of the Spirit resting upon Jesus, which has already come to pass, it is He who is the one whom the Lord was well pleased. Well pleased of His only begotten Son, the root of Jesse, who came into His own creation to bring wisdom coupled with understanding, counsel coupled with might, knowledge coupled with the fear of the Lord, so that this fear of the knowledge of God would be the word of His lips and the rod of His mouth, in which He puts to death the wicked. But also, by His righteousness, He brought justice and equity to the meek and poor. And it's right here where we come to piece together the rest of our verses we have before us this morning. Jesus is not only the righteous King and ruler, but He imputes His rightful standing upon the meek and the poor of the earth, the remnant few in whom are considered to be the faithful children of God. And as it says in Isaiah 10:19, the remnant of the trees of His forest will be so few that a child can write them down. And those few are those in whom have not abandoned the Lord, but rather have abandoned their old sinful ways of who they once were. Predators inflicting harm upon the meek and poor have now become the meek and poor themselves. A demonstration of the illustration we see between the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, and the calf and the fattened calf with the lion. No longer is there war between the children of God, but rather peace within His kingdom. But for those in whom continue to inflict harm, He describes in Isaiah 10:33, "Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs and terrifying power. The great in height will be honed down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one." Yet for the few, the meek and the poor, even a child, a little child, shall lead them, as we see in our first verse, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, the fattened calf, together, and a child shall lead them. And so we are trained as children of God to be led as though by a young child who serves as the village herder leading the animals, in whom are all now domesticated, to lie down in the pastures together. Not as the previous leaders of Israel who led the people astray. It is a picture of perfect peace described in this verse and also in the verses to come. So verse 7. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Did you notice there's another change here? No longer does the lion desire to eat the meat of its prey, but rather straw like the ox, and likewise the bear with the cow. Breaking not only the predatorial tradition, as did the previous leaders, but it now shall continue with their offspring. Their young shall lie down together. So the desires of feeding off the prey has ceased and has now been carried over to their children, a sign of change that continues on throughout generations. It is therefore no longer the sustenance for any of these generations to sustain it. And like a change of heart that wishes to live in coexistence for the betterment of their new position. Verse 8. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. And so what once was the nature of the snake that serpent, whether the fearsome cobra or adder, its likeness is no longer that of the father of lies, but rather the father of the innocent, the ones in whom represent God as his children. To have no venom, no sting, no ill intention has been changed permanently into that which represents a playful mood around those in whom were once their enemies. And no longer being enemies, but friends with the household of God. Verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God has decreed it, and so it shall be. All in whom belong to God will therefore live in peace and harmony. Those in whom were once predators have now been transformed by the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be conformed no longer to the image of the one of original sin, namely Adam, but rather with the help of the Spirit of God, shall be transformed into sons of God by the image of the one who saves us, Jesus Christ. Verse 10. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples of him, shall the nations inquire. And his resting place shall be glorious. And so we have a timestamp here. In that day, referring to the first advent which has come to pass, and indicates that this root of Jesse stands for the church of God, and that the nations shall ask and inquire for advice. And this root of Jesse, this righteous king, as we saw in verse 1, is also the Prince of Peace, whose resting place was the tomb, but also referring to a time after the second advent, the place of rest, and where we shall see his glory. Because there is so much richness found within this text we see this morning, that this future time of this glorious resting place is also exactly like the golden age of the Garden of Eden, the place of rest in which God reminds us of now. The Sabbath we observe weekly is the rest which used to be, will now be the rest we have when we receive when God says, "Good and faithful servant, enter your rest." You see, I believe that part of this prophecy has been fulfilled with the first advent of the revealed Son of God, the root of Jesse, but also awaiting a future time when we will see this perfect rest, where we will be with the Father, walking in the cool of the day in the garden. The second advent, or the second coming of Christ, where he will come to judge the living and the dead. The final chapter where he will place his enemies under his feet. Yet this is a time where we, as truly regenerated believers of God, have come to receive the blessings of God that teach us to commit ourselves to his trust and guardianship so that we may live in a state of brotherly love and harmony. Not as the ancient believers who lived under the law, but as it says, the abundance of the knowledge as the waters cover the sea, that the perfect light of wisdom has shone on us fully in the gospel, to live in that rest that God in Christ has prepared and supplied for us all. And if you look around today, is there such a country, religion, or people who can offer such peace? No matter how hard the world tries to make peace, it is impossible to do so when sin is involved instead of his Son. We must therefore allow God to take control over our lives through the sanctification process and purge out the impurities of our fallen nature and hold on to the new, transformed life that conforms to the fullness of the image of God in Jesus Christ, so that in our obedience we may show this fallen world the peace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what I want to do this morning, beloved, I want to bring up 3 points that will help us with our daily walk that points to a future time of glory. 3 points that may help you now and also in a future time of need. And so, number one, the kingdom of God is not dependent on any of us. The kingdom of God is not dependent on any of us, but rather in God who promises to bring perfect peace along with justice amidst a sin-seeking world. It's a perfect place to be. God is revealing for us his perfect character through the means of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only source of good, which is what we currently need. The source that not only brings salvation, but through the process of sanctification, demonstrates the purpose of being more Christ-like and not better versions of ourselves, so that we live in a place where we demonstrate the already and not yet kingdom of God here on earth as it is yet to be fully revealed when Christ returns. And though we have learned that we are sojourners on a journey through this sinful world, we can still live together now as if this kingdom that does not perish exists now within each and every one of us to the day of the consummation of the Lord's second coming. It is a desirable place that exists now, even though it is yet to be fully revealed. Therefore, this kingdom that God talks about is not this building we are in at the moment, but the body of people that makes up the church. That's you and I, beloved, the body of Christ. Jesus became a living example for us to follow in order that we may proclaim Christ, not only in word, but indeed by the people we choose to live with. We who were once by nature enemies of God were also enemies with one another, denying the truth for a lie. So now, as brothers and sisters of Christ, let us be living examples towards one another as members of the community of the kingdom of God. But also, looking towards the second advent, which is the most desirable place to be, and the most desirable place to be in is where the human family will finally be one. The very environment will breathe with the peace of God, and we will never hurt one another again. And as citizens of the righteous rule of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, he will lead us into everything safe and pleasant, with no dark side, no forced laughter, no guilty conscience, and no unhealed wounds. Even now, the fullness of his kingdom is only an inch away. All that stands between the present moment and the promised future is the command of God. He's not waiting for favorable conditions or in human social evolution. All he has to do is give the order, and Christ will come and judge and save and rule, because he is himself our peace. Isaiah is not telling us when, he is telling us who, and that should be enough for us. And this is the good news God is calling us to embrace today. And this leads us to our second point. the change God does to our natural hearts through the knowledge of his word, the good news, is a most desirable position to be in. When the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, the scars of our ugly utopias will disappear forever under the overflowing healing of Christ. And that healing of Christ, which is the most desirable position to be in, is where the human heart is changed forever, so that everything else will breathe with the peace of God. And this peace comes from his victory upon the cross, a victory of Jesus Christ that brings the awakening and purifying and restoring and gladdening of the people of his kingdom. And this victory is the only final answer to poverty, to hunger, injustice, illiteracy, and all the other sorrows we have created. Everything else in this world is a mockery of our longings. And yet Christ has already been rejected by all our top people and condemned by our system, and raised by God to the immortal life that will renew the world. What can stop him now? However, we can fall into danger when our minds overlook the heart, when we think about God as the most important thing about us. This indeed brings about a grave intention of the heart. We tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God, the secret to who you really are. And the key to your future is not your self-image, but your Christ-like image. The gospel saves us by improving our Christ image. It gets us thinking realistically about the second advent and the significance of his continual grace that abounds to us. Why? Because he has our best interest at heart. And this leads us to our third point. The God of all in whom has our best interests at heart is the most desirable pleasure we could possibly want or have. I mean, what better result could we ever imagine than to long and desire to be with our Lord forever and ever? When we see God bending all his thought and will on our behalf beyond anything we could possibly hope or imagine, by preparing a place for us, everything changes. C.S. Lewis wrote, "If we consider the word of God and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels and the prophets, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not strong enough, but too weak." We were by nature half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, with infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. However, Isaiah's vision of God can stimulate us in such a longing that we stop settling for these mud pies of this slum and set a course for the holiday at the sea, far away in God's promised new world, to see God as our King of grace, laboring to take us there despite what we deserve. That makes all the difference. And there is no hope or future that is more secure. Even when we look at our last verse, verse 10, Isaiah describes our Messiah himself standing as a signal for the peoples, like a banner or flag, drawing us in. What is this that compels our desire? Jesus says in John 12, verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." The signal is his cross. He wins us with the inconceivable imagery of his own life spent on that cross, revealing his commitment to us, of his undying love for us, in order that we may find access to the God of love. The power of his love accomplishes what is humanly impossible, to reunite us so that we may share in his ultimate plan of peace. You see, beloved, God is revealing for us his perfect character through the means of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only source of good, which is what we currently need. The source that not only brings salvation, but by his Spirit and the knowledge of his word, we continue through the process of sanctification, demonstrating the purpose of being more Christ-like and not better versions of ourselves, so that we live in a place where we demonstrate the already and not yet kingdom of God here on earth as it is yet to be fully revealed when Christ returns, to coexist with one another in harmony with the community of God's people, the church. A position where we are changed forever to the core of the heart through the healing of Christ that brings peace, and a pleasing desire and longing to experience the fullness of God through his promises that brings satisfaction, excitement, and joy of being a part of a kingdom where there is freedom from all that seeks to destroy us. A kingdom of all that is good, where the only access is through a king who truly is the Anointed One, who truly is the Great Shepherd, who truly is the Righteous One, and as we learnt this morning, who truly is the Prince of Peace. Allow me to pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come fumbling before your throne, Lord. Father, grappling with your word and your promises and your truth, to understand that your righteousness is coupled with your peace. Oh, Our Lord, help us to be a people who is transformed to bring the light of the gospel of you, Lord Jesus, to the watching world. The Father, we would be a light in this present darkness. Father, not only living in the now and not yet, but always pressing forward to that ultimate goal where we will have that eternal rest with you. Father, what a longing of the heart and the desires. Because even as this world is crumbling away, Father, you are the only constant thing, the only one in whom guarantees salvation and a hope. It's your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one, the Prince of Peace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.